Chapter 3. Tom Makes a Friend. Tom left it for 3 days. Then he went to the beach on the fourth morning, close to noon. He found Dickie alone, reading an Italian newspaper in the same place he had seen him first, in front of some gray rocks.
"Good morning," Tom called. "Where's Marge?"
"Good morning. She's writing a book, so she's probably working a little late. She'll be down."
Dickie pulled on the Italian cigarette in the corner of his mouth.
"So, what have you been doing? I thought you'd gone."
"Sick,"
said Tom, dropping his towel on the sand, but not too near to Dickie's.
"But I'm all right now."
He went into the water, not too far, and dropped down until it reached his shoulders. Then he came slowly back to the beach.
"Can I invite you for a drink at the hotel before you go up to your house?" Tom asked Dickie. "And Marge, too, if she comes down. I have some gifts for you from your parents."
"Oh, yes. Thanks very much."
Dickie went back to his newspaper. Tom lay down on his towel. Soon, they heard the church bell announce 1 o'clock.
"Doesn't look as if Marge is coming down," Dickie said. "Shall we go?"
Tom got up. They walked up to the Miramare, saying very little to each other. When they reached Tom's room, he gave Dickie some shirts and expensive socks that Mrs. Greenleaf had asked Tom to bring for her. Now Dickie had the presents, Tom thought. He was probably going to refuse the invitation for a drink. Tom followed him to the door.
"Your father's very worried about you staying out here, you know. He asked me to talk to you about it, which, of course, I won't. But I still have to tell him something. I promised to write to him."
"I'm happier here," Dickie replied. "I may go back for a few days this winter, but I can't work for him. How would I paint? I like painting, and it's my decision how I spend my life. So, thanks for the message and the clothes. It was very nice of you."
Dickie held out his hand. Tom could not take it. He was about to fail in Mr. Greenleaf's eyes.
"I ought to tell you something else," Tom said with a smile. "Your father sent me over here to ask you to come home."
It was his last chance to make Dickie like him.
"What do you mean?"
asked Dickie, frowning.
"You're saying he paid for you?"
"I have $600 with me that he gave me for the trip," Tom replied, smiling. "He approached me in a bar in New York. He recognized me from one meeting at your house, and we both know the Shrivers, who said that I might be able to help him." "I hardly know the Shrivers. I told him I wasn't a close friend of yours, but he felt sure I could help if I came over. I told him I'd try."
He suddenly remembered Dickie's smile, the way the lips turned up at the ends. It was coming now.
"I'm sorry," said Tom. "I don't want you to think that I'm just using your father. I expect to find a job somewhere in Europe soon, and I'll pay him back the money."
"Oh, don't worry about it. He'll be taking it from the business."
They had a drink in the hotel bar, and then Dickie invited him to lunch at his house. Marge met them there, and they sat and drank gin and tonics like the first time, But now the atmosphere had completely changed. Dicky made Tom tell Marge what he was really doing in Italy. So he made the story really funny, and she laughed like it was the best thing she had heard in years.
"So, what kind of work do you do?"
said Dicky.
"You said you might get a job in Europe?"
"Oh, I can do lots of things. Cleaning cars, accounting. I'm very good with numbers. I can forge a signature, fly a helicopter, cook, and do a one-man show. Shall I show you?"
He jumped to his feet.
"In the show, I'm an English woman in the American subway. She wants some American experiences."
He began to act.
The woman tried to buy a ticket. Then she did a silly walk to the train, but got lost. Dicky fell back in his chair laughing, but Marge looked blank.
"She looks like she doesn't have that kind of humor," Tom thought.
Tom drank some of his gin and tonic and felt pleased with himself.
"I'll do another for you sometime," he said.
"Come on, Tom,"
said Dicky, standing up.
"I'll show you some of my paintings."
Dicky led the way into a large room that had an easel in the middle of the floor.
"This is one I'm working on of Marge right now."
He pointed to the picture on the easel.
"Oh," said Tom.
It was not good in his opinion, probably in anyone's opinion. Her wide smile wasn't right, and her skin was too red.
Dicky showed him other pictures of the village and mountains, seas and beaches. They were all boringly similar, with the same reds for the houses and blues for the seas. Mr. Greenleaf had been right about his son's painting. Yet it gave Dicky something to do, Tom supposed. He felt disappointed about this because he wanted Dicky to be so much more. Dicky showed him around the rest of the house, and Tom could not see any signs of Marge in the bedroom. He was surprised to see so many books there, though, because he had not thought of Dicky as clever, but perhaps he was wrong. But he did not think he was wrong in feeling that Dicky was bored at the moment and needed someone to show him how to have fun. They drank a lot of wine with the lunch, but Marge being there stopped Tom from talking about the things that he would like to have talked about. After lunch, she went into the kitchen to make them coffee.
"How long are you going to be here?"
Dicky asked.
"Oh, at least a week, I'd say," Tom replied.
"Because..."
Dicky's face was a little red from the wine. It had put him in a good mood.
"If you're going to stay here a little longer, why don't you stay with me? Unless you'd prefer to stay in a hotel, of course."
"I'd like that. Thank you very much," Tom said.
The next morning, he moved in.